Today is Governor Gina Raimondo's first full day in the job. She faces a state budget shortfall, a health insurance exchange that will need funding, and a state that's still stuck with one of the highest unemployment rates in the nation. And joining me now to talk about this is Wendy Schiller, Brown University Professor of Political Science. Dr. Schiller, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be here.
Let's start with Governor Raimondo's inauguration speech. She called on all Rhode Islanders to take some amount of responsibility to fix the state. Wendy, what's your take on her address? First, your initial take, and then now that you've had a day to think about it.
Well, I thought it was a hopeful and energetic address, and she focused on things that we've been talking about for some time: training, education, employment, matching what Rhode Islanders have to offer with available jobs that go unfilled right now because we need a better skill set, and bringing in new business to the state, plus the constraints we're going to face. The state has a very large budget, so I don't think she's talking about doing things bigger, bolder, grander. I think she's talking about doing things smarter.
Some pretty lofty goals from the governor to boost the economy, and that was tempered with that warning that real change takes time, could take many years. What should we watch out for in terms of economic policies? The budget address is coming up. Things have to be crafted into legislation. There are some things you can do with administrative orders, but some things you need to do with passing the bills.
I think she's got to do things like reform state government to make it more efficient. She's got to need some help from the legislature in reallocating how we spend our money in Rhode Island, particularly if she wants to beef up training and skills enhancement, not just for people in school now, but for people who've left school already who still need greater training. These cost money, these programs, and we have a big deficit, and I think she's going to have to cut some things, and people aren't going to be happy about that. So she wanted to be very energetic and hopeful, but I think the message was we have to figure out what's the most important things we need in Rhode Island to do now, and what can we possibly put on the back burner, or what might we have to sacrifice for our short and long-term goals?
A political science question. With the structure of state government in Rhode Island, how effective can any governor be as a change agent?
Well, I think she's already a change agent. I think being the first woman governor, but also the way she ran her campaign, being a Democrat who had taken on pension reform, who was opposed by public employee unions, she changes the balance of power within the Democratic Party. She changes the interest group configuration of support. And I think she and the Speaker and the President of the Senate are on the same page about what they want to do, and they're realistic about how they can do it. So she's already changed things. Things are shaken up in Rhode Island. That whole dais was full of practically all new people, except for Peter Kilmartin. So politics has changed. The question is, will economics change in Rhode Island too?
The governor has pledged to try again to forge another settlement over the state pension overhaul, which she pretty much authored as general treasurer. So how does she need to approach labor and the General Assembly and the leadership there as governor to try to get this done?
Well, I think that Nick Mattiello and Teresa Pivoy have to be in the room, and not just figuratively, I mean literally. You can't cut a deal that you don't think the legislature will back up. So first you have to cut the deal, then all the unions have to agree, particularly the retirees, then the legislature, if there are necessary changes, which there will be, has to be on the same page about approving it. I think given the economy is getting better, we are seeing very small hints of inflation. There could be a deal with COLAs that's a little more generous. They've got to get this deal hammered out, and they've got to do it this year. Get it off the table so Rhode Island can move forward.
All right, let's switch courses a bit. With the midterm elections, Rhode Island got a Democratic governor. Across the country, well, Republicans will call it a sweep. Not many people voted across the country. How much help can Governor Raimondo expect from a congressional delegation that's now in the minority in both the House and Senate?
Well, I think the Democrats still have the White House, and the White House, as President Obama has proven in the last month, still is a very, very powerful instrument. So I think they'll be looking for grants for any available money that can be distributed through the executive branch rather than fixed money that comes from Congress. Although the Republican leadership, including Senator McConnell, who's now the Senate Republican leader, majority leader, he's promised to make things run better, and that means possibly infrastructure, and infrastructure money will be good for Rhode Island.
Senator Jack Reed would have been the head of the Armed Services Committee had the Democrats retained the Senate. Now he's the ranking member. Does Reed have enough respect on Capitol Hill to be able to reach across the aisle and work effectively with the Republican majority?
I think that Senator Reid does have the kind of respect and the admiration of both Republicans and Democrats in the Senate. He has experience. He's considered to be a straightforward guy. And also, Republicans are pretty good on defense. I mean, the one area I think Rhode Island doesn't have to worry as much about is defense spending per se. It's whether the southeastern and southwestern Republicans want to move things to their areas rather than keep them in the Northeast. And that will be a hard fight for Senator Reid to fight. But I think in the end, he'll be successful.
Let's move on to Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, who's made his mark as the environmental senator and given countless speeches about the environment on the Senate floor. What is his role now? Is he marginalized or does he become a vocal critic?
Well, I think that on ideological grounds, he's very liberal. But I think there's common ground with a lot of Western Republican senators. They don't like regulation, but they like clean land and clean air. And they like to protect the lands, and the people in the West like to use those lands. So if there's a way to be strategic about how you talk about the environment and build some bridges with other senators who have regional interest to protect the environment, I think Senator Whitehouse can be a bipartisan force. But if he chooses to simply be ideological, which he isn't that kind of senator to begin with, but if that's the tack he takes, I think will be less successful.
As we wrap up, I wanted to ask you about the late Mario Cuomo, former governor of New York State. You were on his staff at one point. And now, with his passing, we are seeing some Facebook recordings of his past speeches, notably the 1984 convention speech that he gave. What is his legacy?
Well, Mario Cuomo's legacy was to articulate what the Democratic Party stood for after FDR, after LBJ. What would Democrats do for you that Republicans wouldn't? And that is help you when you couldn't help yourself, and that government could be used for the good. And I think he was the most eloquent spokesman not only of his generation, but certainly I think in the last 30 or 40 years of that message. And that's a message that the Democrats are looking for a new torchbearer to carry. And we have to see how things unfold politically, but it's not enough for Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren. I think we need a voice that articulate in the American political system to be an advocate for that side of the fence in terms of politics. And he was that advocate. And I think that voice is missing now in American politics. And if people want change in that area, income inequality, for example, I think you're going to have to look elsewhere for a new rising generation.
Our thanks to Wendy Schiller, Brown University Professor of Political Science. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
This is Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.